This morning's scripture reading comes from Matthew chapter 10, verses 16 through 20. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and be flogged in the synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At the time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. This is the word of the Lord for us.
In the year 1629, when the ruler of India lost his wife, and to be more specific, he had multiple wives, but this was his favorite wife, he ordered that a magnificent monument be built in honor of her. This guy was Shah Jahan. And what he did was he placed his wife's casket in the middle of a parcel of land, and construction on this memorial site literally began around the casket. And it was a massive project. And he poured himself into it, working feverishly, working day and night with zeal, with passion. And it didn't take very long before his excitement for the project really far outshadowed his grief. One day, as he was on the work site, he stumbled over a wooden box, and he ordered his men to throw it out. And you may have guessed that it was his wife's casket. See, he had become so focused on the project that he lost sight of the reason. He lost sight of what is the purpose for this? What is the motivation behind it. Now, the result of this project was the Taj Mahal. But as magnificent as it is, as breathtaking as it is, they lost the original purpose and intent. They forgot their reason for building. They lost sight of what their mission truly was. Now, why do I mention this to a bunch of followers of Jesus? It's because it's so important, it's so imperative for us as followers of Jesus to remember our mission. Not to get so caught up in zealously pursuing the things we're doing that we lose sight of why we're doing them and what we are about. Jesus calls us to go into all the world to make disciples. And so that's really the text for this morning. It's in Matthew chapter 28. And it's known as the Great Commission. And Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Yes, here again, Jesus invites us to go all in for him, to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, to follow Jesus. And when we do that, when we're following him, he sends us out on mission for him, as we say every Sunday as we gather, to share the life-giving power of Jesus with the world. So I want to encourage us today, with this beautiful command, with this beautiful commission, as we wrap up this sermon series of being all in for Jesus, that we would live the commission. So let me introduce myself. My name is John. I serve as lead pastor here at MCA. I'm thrilled that you're with us today. I'm praying that through our time together, your heart and home grow stronger in the Lord. So for this morning, we are considering this great commission that we just read together. The call of Jesus to do that which he has sent us to do and is calling us to do. When you are commissioned, it means you are authorized. You are assigned a specific task. And ours is clear. Make disciples. That's the task. That's the mission. That's what we are about. And we don't accomplish the mission if we don't know what it is. You fail if you don't know what your mission is. And so we accept the commission of Jesus. We embrace it. We live it. And it impacts our whole lives. It impacts every part. So it impacts for parents. It impacts the way you raise your children. Because all of a sudden, the culture that we're growing up in that says raising kids is about, like, getting good grades in school and staying off drugs. All of a sudden, your mission is way more than that. Do you want your kids to get good grades in school? Of course. You want them to pour themselves with passion to everything they do, whether it's athletics or academics. Do you want them to stay off drugs? Of course you do. But your mission in parenting goes far beyond that to, we are making disciples. God has entrusted these children to us for this season, and we will not squander it, and we will not waste it. Therefore, we will instruct them in the ways of the Lord. We will pray with them and teach them to pray. We will study the scripture with them and encourage them to study the scriptures. And we will talk about a life lived with Christ in loving communion with God, our Creator. So parents, it changes our whole worldview when we decide to live the commission in how we parent. It changes our approach to work. The job that you have, the work that has been assigned to you. Because now you're not just there to collect a paycheck anymore. Like that's not the mission, that's not the purpose, that's not the goal. You're not just there doing what God has designed you to do. You have been specifically placed there to impact those around you, to make disciples in that place, to share with them the life-giving power of Jesus. So you see what I'm saying here, right? The commission impacts every area of your life. So in your school, and in your neighborhood, and in your family, you know what? I would go so far this morning as to even say, in your church. In your church, God calls you to live out this commission, and it radically changes your experience of church. Because our goal is not to have a nice service on Sunday morning. Our goal is not to become some religious social club where we gather once a week and we exchange pleasantries and we go our separate ways and we live life however we want. Our goal is to make disciples. And so that shapes, that frames, that inspires the way a local church operates. We band together with like-minded men and women, and we can do life together and we can be on mission together as we sense God's Spirit leading us. What is the methodology in this time, in this place, for this church? And then you carry that out together. So I dare say, following the commission of Jesus even radically changes your experience and your perspective on your church involvement. And so very simply this morning, my encouragement is live the commission. It's live the commission. It is to take seriously and heed the words of Jesus when he says, go and make disciples. So we've talked about this over these last 3 weeks. We are choosing to deny self. We choose to pick up our cross. We want to follow Jesus. And so what I'm suggesting is that means then that we live on mission for him. And here's what I want to do then with the rest of our time together is I want to share 3 implications of that. When you decide to live for Jesus, when you live the commission, when you go on mission for the Lord, what happens? In fact, I'll give them to you right here up front before we walk through them. 3 implications. First is you'll face hardship, just like Jesus. The second is you have an advocate in the Holy Spirit. And the third is you are called to love just like God, the Heavenly Father. Hardships like Jesus, advocate with us the Holy Spirit, and we're called to do it all in love like God our Heavenly Father. So let's start with this first implication, which is you will face hardship. We don't want to hide this fact. We don't want to make this a secret when we talk about following Jesus and living for him, that it is difficult. Like, so to identify as Christian on the census is one thing. I'm categorizing myself. This is where I belong. I am Christian. That's one thing. But it's something entirely different when your life is lived initiating spiritual conversations with others. Or you encounter people and you say, could I pray for you? Or very simply, telling the story of how God saved your soul and brought you into relationship with him through Christ. So as you live for Jesus and as you share the good news with others, it's not easy. You're going to face hardship. You're going to struggle through it at times. You're going to encounter people who don't want their lifestyle challenged. You're going to encounter people who don't want their way of thinking challenged. You're going to encounter people who are maybe okay with some ascent to a higher being, but don't want to hear about Jesus and his very exclusive statements about, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so they'll mock God. They'll say, the Bible is make-believe. You can't trust those stories. You can't trust what happened there. That's all made up. It's all fairy tales. So if we go to Matthew chapter 10, like we heard a few minutes ago from the scripture reading that Cammie did, let's turn there together. Jesus says this very clearly. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. So he says, therefore, be shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard, he says. You'll be handed over to the local councils and be flogged in the synagogues. On my account, you'll be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and the Gentiles. We're not talking about persecution and imprisonment because they've committed crimes and did wrong. He says, on my account. It's because they're followers of Jesus. So he says that to us today as well, that we're being sent out as sheep among wolves. And for some of us, that we don't like that imagery, do we? You go, wait a minute, like, what does that mean? Like, I'm just going to get devoured? I don't really like that very much. We're just going to get attacked and devoured and mauled by vicious wolves who are biting, who are stronger than us? No, it doesn't mean you're going to be devoured by them. It means there are those who are going to try to stop you. That's what it means. There are those who are going to try to stop you. People who don't like the message that you bring. People who don't like the choices that you make. And so, wolves sometimes just make fun of and intimidate and scare. And so Jesus says to the disciples that they're going to be persecuted. Followers of Jesus will, when we're living on mission, will be persecuted. But he reveals then, we saw it there in verse 18, the ultimate opportunity at hand. Telling unbelievers about him. Like, this is the way things work in God's kingdom. The things that are hard, the things that are, oh dear, I'm a sheep sent out among wolves, turns into, but see, you're going to be brought before these people. Jesus makes this really clear. To be my witnesses, to tell your stories. He takes the outcast. This is just how God works. He oftentimes takes the one who is downtrodden and beaten up and attacked and abused and outcast, and he raises them up. Scripture says he uses the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. He uses the weak things of the world to shame the strong. And so, why would I share this morning? Why would I preach this morning? Because ultimately, I want to encourage us. Right? Jesus says here, be on guard, be prepared. But also, friends, take heart. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Be encouraged today. Like, and if anyone knows hardship, if anyone knows persecution, it's Jesus. He walked that road before we did. He knows what it is to be attacked and mistreated and mocked and beaten and even crucified. He endured. And he calls us to the same task. As we live on mission for him, we're going to face hardship. We're going to be persecuted. But here's the good news. We're not alone. And that's the second implication, is that you have an advocate. Jesus has given us the Holy Spirit as an advocate, as a helper. So when we decide to follow Jesus, when we turn our lives over to him, the scriptures tell us that the Spirit fills our lives. We are filled with the Spirit of God. He lives inside us. And then he empowers us to serve others, to build up the body of Christ, to share the good news with others. That Holy Spirit inside us is what convicts us when we sin and do wrong. He rebukes us when we walk the wayward path. Why? So that God can lead us down that path of righteousness as we live the commission for his glory. And so we have this great promise in Scripture that as we go out on mission for Jesus, we're not alone. He is with us. He will come to our aid even in those times where we're facing hardship and challenge, right? So the passage in Matthew chapter 10, It goes on to say, but when they arrest you, don't worry about what you're going to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. And you go, what? Why? How? Where? Who? For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. So you go, okay. We may be sent as sheep among wolves, but we have a shepherd. And you know what the shepherd does when the wolves come, don't you? He takes care of business. He protects his own. And so you realize, like, that he is mighty. That's why Jesus says, when they arrest you, don't be afraid. And Psalm 118 has this great promise. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I look in triumph on my enemies. He is with you. He will watch over you. So as you contemplate stepping out, living on mission for Jesus, you know that you're not going in your own strength. You know that you are protected, that he is watching over you. And so really there's a biblical principle here that I want to drive home. I want to go deep here. There's a biblical principle here for us. And it goes far, far beyond this idea. And I'm glad, like children, the Sunday school kids that are with us, that they can understand this principle. They can grab onto even at young ages that God is with you. God is with you and God is mighty to save you. But here's the biblical principle, and it is that we should fear God, not humans. Like we live with this awe and this reverence, this recognition of him. And so we follow in his ways and we walk in obedience to him. But see, if you strive for human approval, you would never be a follower of Christ. I mean, Paul says it that bluntly in Galatians 1:10. Like, you would never be a follower of Christ. If you're striving for human approval, they're never going to approve of that. Broad is the road that leads to destruction, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7. So, we live in fear of, in reverence to Almighty God, not in fear of humanity and what they might say and what they might do. The Spirit of Almighty God indwells you. So you need not fear. He will guide you. He will help you. He will comfort you. Jesus says that in John chapter 14, where he says, and the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of all the things I've said to you. So check this out. You have a Comforter with you, which means you can leave your comfort zone behind. You have a Comforter that goes with you, that goes before you, so you can walk out of your comfort zone as you embark on the mission that God has given to you. He is going to give you what you need. He is calling you. Will you be his witness in all the places where he has you, in all the places he wants to send you, so that as you go, you are making disciples? Again, we're not going to lose sight of the mission. And why is that? Why do we want to go and tell people about the good news of Jesus and make disciples? Because people need the good news. Because people need Christ. Because apart from him, they are bound for an eternity, separated from God in hell. They're hopeless. They're in despair. And they need the truth. They need the gospel. They need to know that there is rescue and that his name is Jesus. And you know, the name Jesus means the Lord saves. What good news we have to share. And so let's share it. And I want you to specifically consider, like, who is it that God has put in your life? Maybe that needs a spiritual home. We've got some empty seats here this morning, don't we? Maybe consider inviting them to join us at MCA. Come and see what God is doing here. Come and be a part of this vibrant community. And we're living on mission together. In fact, I do hope you'll come back next Sunday and consider inviting someone, because we're starting a brand new sermon series. I'm excited about this, but we're calling it Refuge. It's a deep dive into Psalm 91, and we're going to look at four of the names of God from Psalm 91. And really, no matter where you're at in your faith journey, I think this is going to be a helpful study, as we are going to be challenged to find our shelter in him. So please consider that for next week. Because I think the Lord puts people in our path. Like the Lord puts people in our lives that need to hear the truth, that need to hear the good news, that need hope. So yeah, from Psalm 91, if you say the Lord is my refuge, if you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. That psalm talks about how under his wings you'll find refuge. And that's even though we've all sinned, we've all done wrong. We all need rescue, we all need shelter, and it's available in the person of Jesus. So I'm suggesting this morning that the Lord wants to use you to share that good news with others. That the Lord wants to use you to point others to the hope that you've found in Christ. With your words, but also with your actions. And really, that's where we get into the third implication of living out the commission of Jesus, is that we're called to do so in love. We might suffer just like Jesus. We have an advocate in the Holy Spirit, but we are called to love just like God, our Heavenly Father. So we know this from the Scriptures, that we're called to speak the truth. But how are we called to speak the truth? Somebody help me. Yeah. We're called to speak the truth, but we're called to speak it in love. And I think it can be tempting for each and every one of us to love the lovable, to care for those who have cared for us, and then to reject those who are unlovable, and to treat poorly those people who have mistreated us. And those who are living a sinful lifestyle that's clearly not honoring to God, to spurn them and to turn up our nose at them. But thank the Lord that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Thank the Lord that he didn't turn up his nose at us when we were walking that wayward path, but had open arms. God's agape love pursues people. His beloved creation, it pursues people. Even when they reject him, even when they mock him, we don't lose hope. And I think we need to shift our perspective here. You know, like a secular pop star releases an album and it's got cuss words on it. Oh my, what a bad role model. Oh, what a shame. This person is being such a bad influence on young people and people who are listening to pop music. Just tell me, when were we looking to that pop star as a beacon of hope and righteousness? That now all of a sudden, we're biting our fingernails and we're not sure what to do because we've got bad words. Like, why would we expect a pagan to do anything other than shake their hips and sing songs about their ex-boyfriends? I think we need to shift our thinking here. Like, those aren't role models to begin with. So why are we devastated when all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, now they don't have that persona that's more family friendly. I mean, even the people in your life that you have actual relationship with, when they don't look or sound or act like the kingdom of God, when they really kind of, they smell like the world and they sound like the world and they think like the world, don't be disgusted. You know why? Because God loves the world. In fact, he so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him won't perish, but have eternal life. Yeah, we're called to love. It's in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12 that Jesus gives us the golden rule. Some of you are like, I wasn't sure if that actually was in the Bible or if that was just, it is. The golden rule, the words of Jesus. He says, in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. And I say, guys, this is such a helpful, practical tool for loving others. This is amazing. And I would say this goes across a bunch of relationships. In your marriage, in your friendships, for your neighbors, for your relatives, for unbelievers that you are trying to reach with the gospel. It is the golden rule of do to others what you would want them to do to you. Boy, I really wish that I would get a text message from her. It'd be nice if she would just reach out to check on me or send me an encouraging note. There you go. Do that. Send the text message. checking in and sending the encouraging note. Boy, I really wish he'd invite me over, you know, to watch the big game and we could hang out. There you go. Invite him over to watch the big game and hang out. Like, this is pure gold, the golden rule. And maybe you don't know. You're like, I don't really know how this person would receive love. I don't really know what they want, what they need. Yeah, well, Jesus gives us very good practical advice. Just think about what you would want and then do that. Like the guy who couldn't pay his water bill. So I decided to write him a note. And I found the perfect card. It said, "Get well soon." Like this is like this is a very simple rule of thumb. As you want to love other people, what would you receive? What would you want? And then do to them what you would want done for you. And the person who did this masterfully, of course, was Jesus. If we think about his life and the way he reacted to people and the way he treated people, like with children, he played with them and he loved them with his time. And if you know anything about kids, it's all about quality time. Jesus did that. With the hungry, he offered a meal. He loved them with his generosity. With the lepers, he reached out, even to that which was unclean, to touch them, to validate their humanity, and to heal them. For students who were eager to learn, he was teacher. For the sick who needed to be well, he was healer. To the woman caught in adultery who was about to be stoned, he came on the scene as a kind and merciful judge. To the Jewish people, he's the ultimate Passover lamb. He gave his life, the requirement met once and for all. For the Gentiles, he's the hope of the nations. For the orphan, he's the loving father who adopts them and welcomes them into his family. To the blind, he offered sight. And for sinners, he's the Savior. Like Jesus did this better than anyone else, meeting people where they were, providing just what we needed, and he did it all in love. And so that's the encouragement for us today. I want us to be zealous for the cause of Christ. I want us to go out on mission for him, but I want us to recognize that he calls us to do so in love. So the Apostle Paul says this really clearly in the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. In verse 2, if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have faith that can move mountains, but don't have love, I am nothing. You could build the Taj Mahal, but you threw out the casket for the woman that it was built for as a memorial. In our zeal for Christ, we must never mistreat or belittle or disrespect or name call or slander or bully or act spitefully or ungracious or unkind. Jesus says it's actually by our love that people will know that we're his followers and disciples. And the Apostle Peter, who we know is a little rough around the edges, big, loud, bold, brash, he realized this. And so check out these verses, this verse from 1 Peter 3:15. He says, "But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have." And we know he lived that out. He didn't have a problem clearing his throat, stepping up to the plate and saying, "Yes, let me answer that question." But then he says, "But do this with gentleness and respect." He says, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. He says, let God work it out. Take the road that's low and humble. Don't be afraid to speak out and share the good news, but do so with gentleness. Do so in a way that is respectful. So we are called to love. Yes, even in the face of persecution and mockery and hardship. Even in a culture that doesn't honor God, we are called to love. And so we actually believe what the Proverbs say in Proverbs 25 when it says, if your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. And if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. And in doing this, you'll heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. So don't get angry and embittered about the culture around you, the people around you. Instead, let's be heartbroken over it. Like church, again, I think we need to realign something here. Why are we outraged? We should be heartbroken. Because we see people that are lost. And yeah, we see it celebrated. We see it on the highest platforms. But we see people who are hopeless and without Christ. They are broken. They are sinful. They need Christ. And so we're not going to lose sight of our mission. Because guess what? We too are broken and sinful people who need a Savior. And how thankful we are. And so here's what we can do. We can share our story. We can share our story. Because when you start debating and when you start trying to convince people, they can always have a refuting argument. But when you share your story, people listen. So what has God done for you? What has God done in you? And tell that. We all have a story, and our stories are part of God's larger story. It's a story of redemption for all creation. And God is working it out, and he's weaving it out in your story and in my story and in the story of each and every person who follows Christ. And it's ultimately a story about him. And God is the author of your story. I want to be clear on that. God is the one writing it and dictating it and writing your story, but he's inviting you to be the one that tells it. So I want to challenge you with that this morning as we talk about living the commission. Tell your story. Jesus invites you to be his witness, to live out the commission, to actively participate in spreading the gospel, in loving others, and in going all in for following Jesus. And in that, he's given us a guide and a comforter and a helper in the Holy Spirit. We just need to step out in faith. We just need to answer the call. So would you join me in doing that today? Say, I'm all in for Jesus, and I'm all in for the commission, and I'm going to be scared, and I'm probably not going to get it right. But God has done something in me that the world needs to hear. And so we're going to go out, and we're going to follow Jesus. We're going to shine brightly for him with our lives, and in our families, and in our community, and in our church, in our nation, and in our world. This is our task. To make disciples, to share the life-giving power of Jesus with the world. So what's your mission field? Is it your home? Is it your school? Is it your work? Is it your neighborhood? The Lord has placed you right where you are, and he wants you to shine brightly for him. So do it. Live the commission for the glory of God. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for today, and we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your Holy Spirit that indwells us. And we thank you, Jesus, that you are our good shepherd, so that even as we go sent out as sheep among wolves, you will protect us and you care for us. So, Lord, I pray today that you would loosen our tongues to tell stories of you at work, to share of your goodness, and to speak of the things that you have done for us so that we will impact the generations that are to come. We will impact the communities in which we live. Thank you, O God, for who you are and for your master plan. Thank you, O God, for saving us who deserve punishment for our sins. We choose you today, Lord. We choose to follow Jesus. So have your way in our lives. Every part of us, Lord, we belong to you. We are not our own. We've been bought with a price. So we thank you and we bless you. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.